Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And that's where we're going to come be camping out this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 through 24. And I don't know if you're a lot like me, but when I was little, I always tried to be the people pleaser. I always tried to get on my teacher's best side or my coach's best side. If they needed balls carried outside of the bus, I'd be the one carrying the balls outside of the bus. If we needed a cooler, I'd be the one carrying a cooler. If errands needed to be run for a teacher, I'd go and run the errands. So I was kind of like the teacher's pet in a way, and I was proud of that at that time, but I'm really not proud of it at this time. I got to be the one that would wipe down the chalkboards and wash the chalkboards. I don't know about you guys, that was a big deal for me when I was a kid. I don't know why. I guess maybe it's because I got to get out of class and not be involved in the classroom setting. But I was a teacher's pet, and I did everything I possibly could to get on the teacher's best side, or the coach's best side, or the parent's best side, or my fellow student's best side. And it seemed like for me that was the right thing for me to do. And I did it so much more than actually putting my right relationship with God first. I was so enthralled with pleasing other people that I failed to recognize that my relationship with Christ was first and foremost the most important thing in my life. And that created some bad habits for me later on, and negative habits for me later on in life. My first job, I got a corporate job at MBNA, which is now Bank of America, out in Beechwood. And I did the same thing there. I wanted to be on my boss's best side. I wanted to be on my supervisor's best side. I wanted to be on my coworker's best side. So I did whatever I could. I worked as late of hours as I possibly could. I sacrificed everything I possibly could so that I could make everybody else like me. I even put my relationship with Christ on hold and would really have this conversation of saying, God, you know, I know you put me in this position, and I'm ministering to my wife by providing for her. And so I made excuses for why I wasn't going to put Christ first, which is a really bad idea to begin with. Because if Christ provided you the job, then Christ should be the one that gets the praise and the honor. And so I put all of these things in front of my relationship with God. And it not only hurt my relationship with everybody else around me, but it most importantly hurt my relationship with the Lord. And I don't know if you're in the same boat as me, but there's days where I struggle with that still. I get up and I say, well, what can I do to please this person? Or what can I do to please that person? And you guys may be in that same boat. Maybe you're at work and you're saying, man, I just want to be on my boss's good side, or I want to be on my supervisor's good side, so I'm going to do whatever I need to do. I'll even put my relationship with God on ice so that I can make sure that everybody else around me is happy. There's always time for my relationship with God later. But right now, this is the most important thing. Some of you may be in that position. Some of you may be heading into that position. And today we're going to talk a little about what we can do as far as helping each other, encouraging each other, that our relationship with Christ is first and foremost the most important thing. So if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 17, that's where we're gonna end up. Let's pray before we begin, though, okay? Father, we are so grateful that you have allowed us the opportunity to open up your word and to read about you and to read about your love and your grace and the fact that you are the great provider for us. Lord, you have provided salvation for us. God, you have created and you have provided a way out of sin. You have created an avenue for us to have a direct relationship with you through your Son. Lord, we are forever grateful for that. Thank you, Father, we can be here this morning and just celebrate our relationship with you. We can celebrate what you're doing in our lives, and we can encourage each other, and we can spur each other on in our relationships with you as well. God, I pray this morning as we dive into your word, Lord, that we would just understand a little bit more of who you are and how we can put you first in our lives. We love you so much, and we're so thankful for this day.
For it in your name we pray.
Amen. So 1 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 17. We're going to go through verse 24. And this passage may seem a little bit weird, especially since it talks a little bit about like circumcision and stuff like that. But bear with me because we're going to get to some important stuff here. So starting in verse 17, it says this. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. I think it's important for us to understand that we can allow our relationship with other people to become so involved and so consumed that, number one, we lose sight of our first and foremost relationship with Christ. But number two, we are stricken with fear because we're afraid of what other people are going to think about us by the decisions we make for Christ. And so we make our lives about other people and what they would want us to see us do than our relationship with Christ. And so to explain a little bit about the passage here, this is not going to be a really long talk, and I'm not a real big believer in stretching things out if they don't need to be. And so we're probably going to be a little bit shorter than what Alex usually does, but I really feel like there are some great truths that we can learn in this passage. So Paul is writing this letter to the church of Corinth. And Corinth is this wicked place. It's full of prostitution. It's full of slavery. It's full of just wickedness and idolatry. And if you can think of the worst city in the world right now, that probably would equate it to what Corinth was in those days. So Paul is writing this letter. Paul has started this church in Corinth, and now he's actually writing this letter to them about some issues that they're facing within their own body, within their own body of Christ. And so the Jews are saying, hey, in order for you to be truly saved, you've got to be circumcised. And the Gentiles are saying, I think you have it wrong. In order for you to be truly saved, you don't need to be circumcised, or you need to be uncircumcised. And now circumcision is not really an everyday conversation that I have with people, and so it probably isn't with you either. But this is this conversation that they're having, and they're making this the most important thing about their relationship, and it's causing a rift. It's causing something to be blocked between their relationship with each other and with Christ. So the Jews are saying, no, in order for you to be truly saved, you have to be circumcised. And the Gentiles are saying, no, in order for you to be truly saved, you need to be uncircumcised, which I really don't know how that happens, or you need to not be circumcised. So there's this fighting and there's this warring taking place. Paul says in the first part of this passage that everyone needs to live the life that they were called. That's actually in verse 17. It says, again, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. So Paul is saying, hey, guys, this is a secondary issue to what you're thinking. And I know the Jews are probably saying to the Gentiles, hey, man, you're not really saved unless you're circumcised. And the Gentiles are thinking, maybe I need to do that then in order to appease or please these people over here. And then the Gentiles are saying, no, you need to be uncircumcised or not circumcised. And some of the Jews are saying, well, maybe I need to follow those guidelines. Maybe I need to do that. And so they're so consumed about each other's own thinking that they're failing to see their relationship with Christ as the most primary thing in their lives. And their relationship with Christ is what brought them together in the first place. He says to the Jews that if you were circumcised when you were called, you don't need to become uncircumcised. And if you are not circumcised at your call, then you don't need to be circumcised. Paul is saying, be who you are in Christ. Be who Christ has called you to be. He's also saying, don't change for anyone except for the Lord. And it's so easy for us in our lives to say, well, this person wants me to act like this, or this person wants me to do this, or this person really thinks it's a good idea if I do this. And if God's telling you something else, you need to do what God's telling you to do. There's a lot of voices that talk to us all day long. And some of them may be encouraging, and some of them may be right, but some of them may be wrong. And the voice that we need to listen for is the voice of Christ. It's God's voice. Is the Lord's voice telling us what to do? Because that relationship is the most important. And that's what Paul's trying to get across. Guys, you don't have to be this or you don't have to be this. You have to be in Christ. He's saying, I think you're losing sight of what's most important here. And that's your relationship with the Lord. Paul also uses the example of freedom versus slavery. He's saying, okay, so if you were a slave, or if you were a slave to somebody at the time of your salvation, you may still be technically a slave to them, but you are free in Christ. And if you were a free man when you came to know the Lord, well, you're still a free man, but now you're a slave to Christ. And so the bottom line here is, either way, you're free. You're free in Christ. And so I think that goes back to what the Jewish people and the Gentiles were talking about. Hey, guys, no matter what position you're in, you're still free in Christ. Let each of you remain as you were called, Paul says. You're free in Christ. And so there's three truths I want to kind of help you guys see to take home today. And you guys may have heard this before, you may not have, but I think it's extremely important with our relationship, first and foremost with God, and then our relationship with others. And these three things, this is the first one. In the essential beliefs that we have about faith and about the gospel, there's unity. In the non-essential things that we have about faith, there's liberty. That's number two. And in all things, all beliefs, we have charity or love. So the first one, the essential beliefs, there's unity. What would an essential belief be? Essential belief would be that you realize that the only way that you can get to God the Father is through Jesus Christ, his Son. To recognize your need for a Savior. To say that I know that I have no way of getting to God on my own. It's got to be through Christ. That is an essential belief. That is essential to the faith. We cannot discard that. We cannot add anything to it. That is essential to our faith. And the Jews and the Gentiles believe that. They believe, hey, I have to come to Christ to come to be able to get to God the Father. Non-essential. There's liberty. And in this passage, what's the non-essential? The fact that you have to be this way, circumcised, or you have to be this way, uncircumcised. And they're fighting about this. And they're ruining relationships within the body about this. It's a non-essential part. And so they're saying, hey, no, you have to be this way, or no, you have to be this way. And Paul's saying, that's not the point, guys. The point is you come together because you're free in Christ. You come together and worship together because you're free in Christ. Because Christ has set you apart. Christ has made a way for you to get to God the Father. And in all beliefs, point number three, in all beliefs there's charity or love. So whether you believe this way, whether you feel like you need to be circumcised to be saved or uncircumcised to be saved, whether you're a slave or whether you're a free man, we show love no matter what. I think that goes a little bit further when it comes to us serving people as far as our relationship with Christ. Or maybe we have a relationship with someone who's not a believer, and we say, hey, I want to serve this person with the hopes of being able to share the gospel with them, which is a good thing. But if that's the only thing we're in for it, then we could be sorely mistaken, because we could serve that person and we could try and have a conversation about spiritual matters, and this person say, I don't want to talk about that. And it's easy for us to say, all right, well, I'm going to ask them to pack it up and go home because they're not going to listen to me, so I'm going to go find someone else who will listen to me. No, the way that Jesus did it was that he served those people no matter if they listened to him or not. In all things, we show love. Jesus was the author of that, of love. So whether people will listen to what you have to say or not, we continue to serve them. We continue to serve them even if they may never, ever make a decision for Christ, because that's the way Jesus did it. So in the essentials, we have unity. In the non-essentials, we have liberty. But in everything, we have love. We show love. Love each other in Christ, because that's the most important thing. Your relationship with God is the most important thing. And so it's easy for us to get wrapped up in the whole idea of thinking, you know, I need to believe this way, or I need to do this thing, or I need to follow this way because this person's going to be most happy with me if I do that. God is saying, your relationship with me is the most important thing you could ever have. Without an open relationship with me, everything else just ceases to exist or doesn't work out the way that you probably would want it to. So God is saying, you need to first and foremost be concerned with me and your relationship with me. Paul says that there's other things more important to the Christian faith than to argue about things that aren't essential. And it's easy for us to build up walls around our own belief system, and it's easy for us to pull up the bridges and not let anybody in because we're believing this certain way or we're trying to please this certain person. And it's easy for us just to ruin relationships. It's easy for us to ruin relationships with others, and it's really easy for us to kind of hinder our relationship with God. Live a life that pleases God first and foremost. Don't seek to live the life that pleases man. Man will let you down every single time. But God will never let you down. Colossians 3:17, I close with this passage. But Colossians 3:17 says this, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all to the Lord Jesus. If you're a business person, if you work in retail, if you work in hospitality, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it to God. Because that is what truly matters. Let's pray. Father, we are truly thankful that you have allowed us to love and to serve you. We are truly thankful that, again, you have opened a way for us to have an open relationship with you. God, I pray that our relationship with you would not be hindered by what we think other people will think of us, or fear that other people won't like us, or fear of letting someone down. God, we were made to worship you. We were created to worship you. Help us to understand that that is the first and foremost, most important thing. And that when we have a right relationship with you, there will be a right relationship with other people. God, we thank you and we praise you. For it's in your Son's name we pray these things.
Amen.